God's grace and peace be with you. This is one of those stories that has had so many different layers of interpretation laid on it, and it's always fun to kind of go back and rethink what this is all about. The first thing, of course, that comes to my mind, well, maybe not of course, but one of the first things that came to my mind, because I think it's been so much in our public conversation, is this issue of hospitality. I don't know if you realize this, some of you may, but hospitality is a mark of the people of God. Hospitality isn't just being nice. Hospitality is a holy and sacred obligation. It is the way the people of God identify themselves in the world. And that goes way back into the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, the stories there. Because Israel wandered without shelter in the wilderness and then was brought into a home, as a mark of God's favor upon them, they are to show hospitality to everyone. And especially because they were wanderers, they are to show hospitality to wanderers, to strangers, to people who aren't us. It is a mark of the people of God. Abraham and Sarah have these complete strangers walk up to their house, and they offer them hospitality. Now, we read these words and they think, oh, they used the good flour that they ran out to the store and bought. No, they didn't run out to the store and bought it. To have the best flour, that takes so much work. To make the best flour, the fine flour, the flour that's got no grit, no gravel, no dirt or sand, that's got no chunks of grain, but all of it is, well, what we assume flour is supposed to be. That was a tremendous sacrifice. Because that flour is saved for only the best, most important celebrations to make the best bread. And the calf, again, that is an extravagant expense to kill the fatted calf. I mean, you didn't just have half a dozen of those laying around, you know? And Abraham and Sarah have given the very finest of everything they have for people they weren't expecting, who weren't from there, and whom they didn't know. And they didn't ask for it. Abraham ran out and said, please come and stop. Understand how important this is to one who calls themselves part of the people of God. So that throws Mary and Martha's story into an interesting light, because it is an obligation to welcome those into your home and to provide for their every need with the very best that you have. Martha is not being petty. She's doing her very best to do what you're supposed to do. To honor God by honoring your guest. She's doing her very best to do what she is supposed to do. Well, pretty much. Because there are a few things that she doesn't quite get so right. See, it's interesting that when Jesus answers her, he doesn't really say, well, you shouldn't be worrying about, you know, making me dinner. You shouldn't be doing the work. He doesn't say you shouldn't be doing the work. He says, Martha, you're worried. You're worried and distracted. Now, I don't know about you. I mentioned when we hosted the progressive dinner this year at our house, we did the dinner part, and I loved it, and it was great fun. But I will say there are different spiritual anointings for different people, and having a large group of people that I'm fixing a meal for is not one of my spiritual anointings. I mean, doing that easily without it just being like, oh, yeah, whatever, we've got 30 people come to the house today. Big deal. That's why I was glad it was kebabs. Marty had to cook the kebabs. It was good. But I understand that, you know, this is a spiritual anointing, this capacity to welcome people. It's not easy for everyone. I love doing it. It's a lot harder for me than standing up here and preaching a sermon without notes, for example. Doesn't mean I don't want to do it. It's just harder. So this idea of preparing for people, I get why Martha is having to work to think about this. You have to think about it. You got to remember all the details. You got to organize your cooking because you want to treat your guests well. That makes perfect sense. I have in my life had a tendency sometimes to get a little too stressed about my hospitality, however. And the reason I sometimes get a little too stressed about my hospitality is because I want to look good. I want to look good for my guests. I want them to be glad they were at my house. I want them to think well of me. You see what I've done? I have taken all of this and turned it back on myself. Is that easy to do? Why, yes. Yes, it is. It is very easy to take our hospitality, which is meant to be a gift to the other, and turn it back on ourselves. It's not about me. It's not about whether someone finds a dust bunny in the middle of the kitchen floor. It's not about me. It's about the guests. And when Jesus speaks to Martha, he calls her out, first of all, not on her work, but on her worry. He calls her out on her worry. Because, like all of us, she may well have taken this calling from God to show hospitality as a sign of who she serves. She may have taken this and turned it into a good work that will earn her, you know, good standing in God's sight, or, you know, whatever it is that we try to seek out by doing a good job at the things we're supposed to do. It might have been very easy for Martha to turn this back into being about her. And that's hard. And that's what Jesus calls her on. The other thing that I notice that Martha does here leaps out at every pastor, I think, who's ever preached this, because Martha does this classic example of triangling. Anybody know what triangling is? Anybody heard this term used? Hey, council leadership knows what triangling is. Triangling is this dynamic that we see here where Martha, God love her, has a problem with her sister because Mary's not helping. Now, I can understand her feelings about Mary not helping. I get it. Believe me. But does she go to Mary and say, I'm having a hard time getting everything ready. Could you come and help me? No, she doesn't do that. Instead of talking to Mary, she goes to Jesus and talks about Mary. That's triangling. Martha has a problem with her relationship with Mary, and instead of talking to Mary, she goes to someone else and talks about Mary. You see why it's called triangling? And she draws Jesus into this conflict that she is having with her sister. Well, that's not good hospitality, frankly, on the surface of it. But again, it is a sign that something in this has gone wrong. Because the point of this is not to decide who's the better person, which is what Martha has turned this into. That's not the point. The point should be, how can we best offer hospitality? And so Jesus calls her out on her response to this situation. Now, one of the interesting things about this is this dilemma of, well, what do we do about it? Because we're still supposed to offer hospitality. And sometimes we do feel like everything has fallen on us to do that. And Jesus' answer layered into this text, I think, is particularly important for the church. Because not only individuals, but congregations can struggle with this as well. Sometimes we get so busy with the work that we're doing that we forget to go to the person we're doing it for. We forget to stop. Just stop. And let things go for just a minute and listen to Jesus. Mary isn't refusing to do the spiritual work of hospitality. And in some ways, she's doing that hospitality by receiving what her guest has to bring to her. There's also this interesting little twist in the story where it flips over and Jesus has actually now become the host, right? That is serving and feeding the people who have come to him. So in the church, we read this story and it reminds us again how understandably easy it is for us to become worried and distracted by many things. The air conditioning's gone out. We just had to repair the flooding. I mean, it just seems like it never stops. We don't feel like very good hosts this morning because, holy cow, it is so hot that some people can't worship with us in here because it's hard to breathe, for people with any breathing issues. We worry about how we are going to be the best and the right kind of proclamation of Jesus' love. But in the midst of that, we have to remember that it is absolutely vital that we take time, that we stop, and spend time with the Word, with the Lord, with the Incarnate One, who was before all things and who has come to dwell with us. We need to take time to be with Jesus and to balance these two things. This is not a story of who's right and wrong. This is not a story of who is right and wrong. It is a story that calls us back to our focus of why are we here? We're not here to impress people. We're not here to be the coolest church. We're not here to be anything in particular for ourselves. We are here to reveal Jesus, to reveal Jesus' word. And to reveal Jesus' word, we got to hear Jesus' word. His word of grace, his word of mercy and love that comes to us even when we don't get it right with all of our hard work. Because sometimes we don't. His word of encouragement, his word of strength, his word of challenge, his word of sending, his word of calling. We are here to hear the word so that we can speak the word. And both of those things need to happen. Speaking the word comes in the ways we talk with people. It comes with the speaking we do with the work of our hands and our feet. It comes with the attitude of our hearts, speaking the word. All of that comes through this incarnated body of Christ, which is you and me. We speak the word literally and physically. But to speak the word, we got to hear the word. So don't forget to take some time and stop and listen. And you find a blessing. It's always there at the feet of Jesus. Thanks be to God.